Prestige Worldwide Dynasty Fantasy Football League Podcast. Today's episode is brought to you by Baywall PPC. Pay-per-click puts you in the captain's seat of your marketing efforts. Through data-driven optimization, your brand will be put front and center in front of your key demographics. We'll help you bring in increased conversions and qualified sales leads. Our pay-per-click team will examine your traffic to make sure you're not wasting a penny on unnecessary spend and focus on driving in traffic that will maximize your return on investment. Visit BaywallPPC.com. All right, we're back. Week 13 in the NFL in the Prestige Worldwide Dynasty Fantasy Football League. And what a week it was. Life updates, real quick. Not much, really. I guess my wife and I, we went to Applebee's on Saturday. I haven't been to an Applebee's since probably like 2016. So it was interesting, pretty random. She was just suggested that we go to Applebee's, and we did, and we ate, the two of us, for less than $50. So if you're looking for a cheap date, I suggest Applebee's. Not bad. Watched Michigan win the Big Ten and get the number one overall seed. Unfortunately, they got to play Alabama, which is horseshit, but is what it is. Beyond that, not a ton going on. Just gearing up for the holidays here, doing some shopping. Gearing up for Christmas. All right, let's get into the scores here. The Thursday game. Finally had a decent Thursday game between two teams that were not completely inept. Dallas takes down Seattle 41-35 in a high-scoring affair. Geno Smith actually outscored Dak Prescott 29.96 from him. Zach Charbonnet led the running backs 16.4, so kind of a breakout game for him. DK Metcalf absolutely crushed it. 34.4 points, three touchdowns for DK Metcalf. Really makes you question, like, where has he been all season? I mean, that was just a masterclass performance against Dallas of all teams, who is pretty good on defense. And not far behind, CeeDee Lamb did have 26.6. So tight ends, Jake Ferguson, 16.7 out of him. And defenses, Seattle 0, Cowboys minus 1. So just the opposite of a defensive battle. All right, next, Houston took down Denver at home 22-17. CJ Stroud 16.06 led the quarterbacks. Running backs, Damian Pierce 10.1. Wide receivers, Cam Sutton 14.7. Oh no, excuse me. Nico Collins 29.6. He went for 191 and a touch. Massive game out of him. Tight ends, Brevin Jordan led the way, 7.9. And defenses, the Texans had 10. And then the next game, I mention a lot of snooze fests every week. I think this was the snooze fest of the entire season. Potentially the snooze fest of like the decade. I mean, what in the fuck was this game? The Chargers take down New England 6-0. Two absolutely horrendous football teams. I didn't even watch this game, but I could imagine what it looked like on film. Just a shit show. Chargers, take down New England 6-0. Herbert, 7.98. Ezekiel Elliott, he's back, folks. 11.2 out of him. Potential league winner. Zeke Elliott. Wide receivers, Keenan Allen led the way with 8.3. Oh, no, sorry. Devontae Parker just barely out-edged him, 8.4. Tight ends, Gerald Everett, 6.4. And Chargers defense had 19. I mean, how... I just don't get it. How you're a professional football team in a professional league and you go out and you score no points on the offense. Like, it's just, and the opponent only scored 6. Like, what are we doing out there, boys? It's just so sad. Anyways, next up, our beloved Detroit Lions survived the New Orleans Saints 33-28. Detroit came out to a 21-0 lead, started off hot, and basically just faded from there, but did manage to hang on. Jared Goff, 16.32. Alvin Kamara, 25.9. Massive game out of Alvin Kamara. Chris Olave, 14.4 from him. Tight end, Sam Laporta. Like I said, future Hall of Famer. Sam Laporta, 24.5 points out of him. He has a bunch of records as a rookie right now that he's just absolutely going to smash. He's going to catch close to 100 balls a season as a rookie, which is like absolutely bonkers, but that's what's going to happen. So defenses, Lions had 5. Next game, Atlanta takes down the Jets 13-8. Desmond Ridder, 8.84. Bijan Robinson led the running backs, 9.4. Xavier Gibson led the receivers, 10.3. That's the first time I've ever said his name in my life. Michael Pruitt, 8.5 from him. And I guess he scored the only touchdown in this game. Kind of crazy. And Falcons defense had a big 21 points. Next up, Arizona takes down Pittsburgh, 24-10. I believe, yep, Kenny Pickett did go down in this game. Just unfortunate. Kyler Murray, 11.8 from him. James Conner, massive game for James Conner, 22.5 from him. He had 105 and 2 touches. Deontay Johnson led the receivers with 11.3. Trey McBride, who's looking like another Hall of Fame tight end here, 18.9 from him. And Cardinals defense had 6. Next, probably the game of the week, other than the, I mean, San Francisco Philly was game of the week, but this game was absolutely nuts. It's Indy. Slides by Tennessee, 31-28 in overtime. There was like 3 or 4 just absolutely ridiculous special teams plays in this game. I mean, I think there was 2 blocked punts. One went for a touchdown. There was a blocked extra point that they ran it back for 2 points of their own. I mean, just insane. And I was looking at this game on the old sports book before, and I think it was a 1-point spread, and I said in my head, this game is definitely going to overtime. And of course it did, because I didn't actually bet that. Because if I would have bet that, it wouldn't happened. So anyways, Gardner Minshew, 18.68. Derrick Henry, master game from him. Another 2 touchdowns and 100 yards, 24.5. Michael Pittman, big game out of him, 22 points. Tight ends, Kyler Granson, 8.9. And the defense, Colts had 20 points on defense. Next game, a snooze fest, just Miami in dominant fashion, just destroys Washington, 45-15. You would think that if one team has Tyreek Hill that you'd want to guard Tyreek Hill, but they just simply did not. He even said in his post-game interview, like, thank you for not respecting me, because they absolutely did not respect him in any way whatsoever. Tua Tagovailoa, 19.2. Devon Achane, my boy Devon Achane, another 2 touchdowns out of him, 23.8. The dude is just a touchdown machine. It's actually nuts. Tyreek Hill, yeah. He went 5 catches, 157 yards, and 2 touchdowns for 29.8 points. Who is this? Jay Hill. Julian Hill on the Miami Dolphins led the tight ends with 3.3 points. Another guy I've never said in my life until today. And then the Dolphins defense had 13. Let's see. Tampa Bay takes down Carolina. I don't think I watched a single second of this game because who cares? Tampa Bay does slide by Carolina, though. I kind of would have thought Carolina, you know, after, like I said last week, like after you fire your coach, like your team seems to rally, but they did not. Baker Mayfield, 9.88 from him. Chuba Hubbard, 22.4, just carrying the team literally and figuratively, I guess. 2 touchdowns from him. Mike Evans just continues to feel disrespected. I mean, he's just insane. 25.7 out of him. I was thinking about this yesterday, actually. The season-long square and prize picks for yards from Mike Evans was like 750 yards. And I think that was literally the most disrespectful square they've ever posted in the history of their existence. I mean, Mike Evans is just nuts. Anyways, another name I've never said before, tight ends. Steven Sullivan. Steven Sullivan. He's a three-year pro out of LSU. He's 27. He's 6'5", 245 pounds. Why am I saying this? I don't know. But another name I've never said until today. He led the tight ends 2.1. Buccaneers defense at 8. And then, as we mentioned, the game of the week turned out to be kind of a blowout. San Francisco absolutely crushes Philly 42-19. Brock Purdy 29.4. Christian McCaffrey just continues to do Christian McCaffrey things. 20.8 from him. Debo Samuel, massive game from Debo Samuel. 33.8 points from him. George Kittle, 8.8 from the tight ends. Philly had no production at all from any of their tight ends. And the San Francisco 49ers defense had 4. Next game, the Rams put a beat down on the Cleveland Browns, 36-19. Cleveland Browns, it's 2023, almost 2024, and the Cleveland Browns signed and started Joe Flacco. Like, that is just nuts. Anyways, Matt Stafford, 22.96. Kyra Williams, 18.7. Puka Nacua, 21.9. He has officially pretty much upended Cooper Kupp on the pecking order there. Cooper Kupp's just old and injured and on the decline. Tight ends. Is this another? Nope. Maybe I've said this name before. Harrison Bryant. I know who he is. At least I know who this guy is. Harrison Bryant, tight ends. 13.4 led the way there. And the Rams defense had 7. Sunday night game. Green Bay takes down Kansas City, 27-19. Kansas City just does not look how they usually look this year. They've had a few just really bad losses. I mean, Green Bay is playing well, so credit to them. Jordan Love is finally silencing the doubters, I guess. 23.68 out of him. Isaiah Pacheco, the running backs, 19.8. Rashee Rice. Oh, no, sorry. Christian Watson. My boy Christian Watson, 24.1 from him. 2 touchdowns there. Another week of a lot of 2 touchdown guys. It's nuts. Travis Kelce led the tight ends, 10.1. And Packers defense had 6. And then last night's game, kind of a weird one. Another game that went to overtime. Cincinnati takes down Jacksonville, 34-31. Jake Browning, big game from him, 26.16. Looked pretty good, honestly. Looked pretty good. Trevor Lawrence did go down with that weird ankle injury. It looked bad, but they don't seem to be saying things that make it seem that bad, so we'll see. But yeah, if they lose him for a couple weeks, their season's just in shambles. Mixon, running backs, 26.7. Wide receivers, Ja'Marr Chase, 26.12. One note on wide receivers. So Christian Kirk caught one pass for 26 yards. And what they're calling, I guess we'll get into this in the injury section. So maybe I'll save it for that. But yeah, just a weird, unfortunate injury for him. But yeah, I did have his, I bet on his longest reception, 21.5. And literally one pass into the game, it cashed, and he didn't see the field the rest of the way. So I won the bet, but unfortunate for Christian Kirk. Evan Ingram finally scored a touchdown. I think it's his first of the season, 18.7. And the defense's Bengals had 4. So yeah, that wraps up week 13, what a week it was. And let's dive into some injuries.
Show it. We're not doctors, so we're not going to speculate, but I'm fairly certain that your leg is not supposed to bend that way.
All right, injury report. This is so stupid, man. There are still two teams on bye. It's week 14, and there's I just don't get it. Cardinals and Commanders on bye. Anyways, let's get into it. Tank Dell, ankle. The unfortunate reality is this injury looked eerily similar to Darnell Mooney's in 2022, which resulted in a season-ending fracture. Accordingly, Dell is out for the season. Trevor Lawrence, ankle. Last night, Lawrence sustained a gnarly lateral or low ankle sprain. So far, reports are that this is just a sprain, which is great news. The MRI is still pending, but there's a chance Lawrence doesn't miss much time at all, depending on how the Jaguars decide to play this. With the Browns and Ravens on deck, it's hard to imagine Lawrence sitting, even if he's heavily taped and less than 85%. Still, don't count him out. Generally speaking, QBs miss 0.25 games per ankle injury. Wow, what a stat! QBs miss 0.25 games per ankle injury. So things continue to look promising so long as Lawrence can get swelling and pain reduced to a tolerable level. Jalen Hurts, concussion protocol. Hurst was evaluated for a concussion in week 13, but returned. You need to prepare as if he's still in protocol. As we've seen countless times, players can report symptoms in the following days. Kenny Pickett, ankle. Pickett underwent a tightrope procedure on his ankle. Allegedly, he'll attempt to return in 2 to 4 weeks, which is awfully optimistic. We saw this kind of optimism with Ryan Tannehill last season, which of course never came to fruition because Ryan Tannehill sucks. It's time for the Mitch Trubisky experience once again. Derek Carr, concussion/ribs. Carr has been absolutely battered this year. In week 13, he re-injured every issue that had been ailing him. Carr has battled through, but these injuries could effectively end his fantasy season. It's Jameis Winston time. Jameis Winston, probably. Derrick Henry, concussion protocol. The average amount of missed time for these is 1.2 games with a median of 0.5 and a mode of 0 games. In theory, 8 days should be enough time for athletes to get through the protocol, even if they have to start over. However, protocol isn't purely time-based, and every human brain is different. The best news we could get is from Mike Vrabel, who confirmed Henry has not shown any symptoms as of Tuesday morning. Now he could still wake up tomorrow with a headache, making his chances play slim. What in the fuck did I just read? Wow, what a paragraph. Still, like Gus Edwards and Alexander Mattison, he's on track to return in one calendar week. Tajay Spears should be and probably is rostered in 100% of leagues. However, Henry has a decent shot to play. Ramondre Stevenson, high ankle. There's legit concern Ramondre misses the rest of the 2023 fantasy season or a big chunk of it. Since 2016, running backs have most frequently missed 3 games with these injuries. The average is 2.2 missed games. Stevenson will likely need 2 to 3 calendar weeks to return to action. Amari Cooper, concussion. Cooper exited week 13 with a concussion, which is his second documented head injury since 2017. The mean amount of missed time for wide receivers is 0.52. with a median and a mode of 0 games. I've said it before, and I'll say it again, that every brain injury is different. But in theory, Cooper will be available with a re-injury risk of 8% and a dip in fantasy production of 36%, which is also accompanied by a 31% dip in targets per route. As long as things go well, Cooper will be available in week 14, albeit on a potentially limited basis due to a lack of practice time with the game plan. Man, that is some deep, deep analysis on concussions, man. This site that I use for this injury page, I mean, what the hell are they? It gets worse every week of how like in-depth some of their data is. I mean, are you kidding me? The mean and the mode is 0? Like, with a re-injury risk of 8% and a dip in fantasy production of 36%. Anyways, Christian Watson, hamstring. Since 2018, wide receivers who have a hamstring re-injury have missed an average of 1.7 games. The median is 2 games. The Packers have also been extremely conservative this season. Watch his status and know that his re-injury risk, again, in week 14, is through the roof. Now, that's a stat I can get behind. It's through the roof. Christian Kirk. Oh, boy. Christian Kirk, groin. We're all mature adults here, right? No, but... anyways, Christian Kirk may have crushed his testicles last night, and the med staff called it, rightfully so, a groin injury. If this is a traditional muscle groin strain, NFL wide receivers miss an average of 1 game like Drake London did earlier this season. If this is a testicle injury, 0 to 1 games is still the timeline. I bet, man. That looked bad. I wouldn't be shocked if he's just done for the fantasy season. Marquise Brown, heel. We could have seen this coming, as Hollywood didn't practice all week due to this injury. This could be a handful of things. Best case, it's a bruise, and worst case, it's plantar fasciitis, which is notoriously painful. Yes, yes, it is. It's notoriously painful as shit. Amari Cooper has battled plantar fasciitis for years. This will be a pain tolerance thing as the Cardinals head into the bye week. Week 14, man, they're heading into a bye week. I mean, that's just so stupid. Brian Robinson, hamstring. Robinson's hamstring injury is his second since college, which doesn't help. What does help is his relatively young age. Running backs who average at least 9 points per reception. Running backs who average at least 9 PPR points per game since 2018 miss an average of 1.5 games, while the median mode is 1 game. All right, let me read that again. Running backs who average at least 9 PPR points per game since 2018 miss an average of 1.5 games, while the median and mode is just 1 game. With the bye week coming up, he has a decent chance of suiting up in week 15. Still, his re-injury risk is 24% with a steep decline in yards per route and routes run. And that wraps up the injuries. One really, really unfortunate honorable mention. The Lions and Saints, the chain gang guy that got rolled up on, and yeah, dislocated knee. They showed him on broadcast for a split second, just mouth wide open in pain. His knee was just sideways. Yeah, really just sad and unfortunate. Hopefully, I heard he did not need surgery, which is good. So prayers up for that guy. That was bad. All right, and there's always the week 13 weekly report. Best manager was the Guild Lady. He set a lineup that was 91% of their perfect possible lineup. Worst manager of the week was Boats and Hoes. He set the worst lineup and only scored 73% of their perfect possible lineup. So congratulations, Guild Lady and Boats and Hoes. Worst or best and worst manager of the week. Biggest blowout, myself. Absolutely beat the shit out of Titan Up. 149.66 to 71.82, which is a margin of almost 109%. So just absolutely dominating performance by my team. Narrow victory. Johnny Watts narrowly takes down Boats and Hoes. I feel like Johnny Watts is always in the narrow victory section. I have to go back and check the facts there, but it seems like he's always here. He narrowly takes down Boats and Hoes by 2.2% margin. Highest scoring, myself. lowest score, 36-minute phone calls, had a low score of 56.44. And of course, overachiever was myself. Below expectation was, of course, 36-minute phone calls. I don't know why those are categories. QB of the week, Geno Smith, 29.96. Running back of the week, Joe Mixon, 26.7. Wide receiver of the week, Debo Samuel, 33.8. Tight end of the week, Sam Laporta, 24.5. Defense of the week, Atlanta, 21. Benchwarmers of the week, the QB benchwarmer of the week. Unfortunately, Team Nighthawk left Trevor Lawrence on the bench. Unfortunately, Boats and Hoes left James Conner on the bench. Unfortunately, he also left DK Metcalf on the bench. Oh man, that's probably why he ended up as the worst manager of the week, is two of his players are on benchwarmer of the week. So yeah, that correlates. Tight end benchwarmer of the week, Taysom Hill was left on the bench by Team Enna. And Team Enna also left Houston's defense on the bench. So yeah, that wraps up the week of the report. Let's go ahead and let's see. Look at some of the matchups. Myself, Team KK, took down Team Titan Up. I moved to 8-5. Titan Up drops to 7-6. Mike Concho takes down 36-minute phone calls. He moves to 9-4. 36-minute phone calls drops to 5-8. Nighthawk smashes Team Simiette. Moves to 9-4. Team Simiette drops to 7-6. The Girl, the Lady takes down Liver Spotted Hands. Moves to a 2-11. Liver Spotted Hands drops to 2-11. Team Mena takes down Team LJ. Moves to 7-6. Team LJ drops to 4-9. Team Johnny Watts takes down Boats and Hoes, handing Boats and Hoes a second loss. Drops to 11-2, and Johnny Watts moves up to 7-6. And the standings: Boats and Hoes 11-2, waiver 11. Nighthawk 9-4, waiver 8. Mike Concho 9-4, waiver 1. Team KK 8-5, waiver 6. Team Mena 7-6, waiver 12. Johnny Watts 7-6, waiver 10. Tighten Up 7-6, waiver 5. Team Simiette 7-6, waiver 9. 36-minute phone calls 5-8, waiver 4. Melodo JA 4-9, waiver 2. Liver Spider Hands 2-11, waiver 3. And the Gale Lady 2-11, waiver 7. Let's see the playoff picture. Playoffs are right around the corner here, week 15. We've got 1 week left, but if they started today, Boats and Hoes would have first round bye. Team KK would take on Team Mena in the first round. Team Nighthawk would have the other first round bye. And Johnny Watts would take on Mike Concho. In the Toilet Bowl, the Go the Lady would have the first round bye. 36-minute phone calls would be taken on Team Simiette. Liver Spotted Hands would have the other first round bye. Tighten Up would be taking on Melodo JA. And just your classic all out battle for the Poop Emoji King. So we'll see who takes that home this season. As mentioned before, Team Melodo JA is our reigning Poop Emoji King champion. So that's that. Okay, let's go ahead and look at. Let's see, week 14. What do we got on deck here? This is the last regular season week in the Procedural Live Fantasy Football Dynasty League. So, yeah, this is pretty much it. Oh, my goodness. Man, New England at Pittsburgh is a Thursday game with no Kenny Pickett? I'll have to check, but I'm pretty sure that I would bet that the total for this game is like 29.5. I mean, my goodness. We've got Tampa Bay at Atlanta, Rams at Baltimore. That should be a good one. Detroit heads up to Chicago. Nervous about Justin Fields, but not that nervous, but still kind of nervous. Indy at Cincinnati. I mean, Indy should handle business there, but we'll see. Jacksonville, Cleveland. I mean, potentially could be Joe Flacco against CJ Beathard, which is just fantastic. Carolina, New Orleans. Could be Jameis Winston there. We'll see. Houston plays the Jets. That one should be interesting. Minnesota takes on Vegas. Let's go Vegas Raiders. Seattle takes on San Francisco. So far, that's the most interesting matchup of the week. Actually, no, it's not. Buffalo at Kansas City. I like that. Should be a good game. Neither team is really playing as up to their standard from recent years, but it still should be a good game. Denver versus the Chargers. Denver should handle business there. Ooh, the Sunday night game. Philly at Dallas. Love to see it. Love to see it. Classic battle here for the division. Philly coming off a absolutely brutal loss. Dallas coming off a pretty good win. So this be a collision course. It'll be fun to watch. Oh, two Monday games? Are you serious? Two? Why? I hate the two Monday game stuff. Miami, Tennessee. Miami should smoke them. Green Bay at the New York Giants. Green Bay is playing well. They should smoke the Giants. Those should be two boring-ass games. But as we all know, that's not really how it works, and they'll actually be interesting, and some weird shit will happen, and it'll be fun to watch. But anyways, I would say that wraps up the pod. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you later. Peace.